Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I am your host, Mark Gabberti, CEO and founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you three new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And behind any breakthrough, whether it's in your business or your personal life, all of those breakthroughs require a transformation where we are becoming better. We are making a change within ourselves that leads to that breakthrough, that leads to that transformation. So if you want to learn how to achieve a major life transformation, this is the episode for you. So today's guest who joins us today, she is a transformational healer, mentor, teacher, and speaker. She has dedicated her life to making a positive impact on the future of our world through empowering individuals, leaders, and organizations to unleash their true potential. Today's guest for episode 346 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Shauna Pelton. Shauna, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, Mark. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Shauna, I'm happy to have you on the Breakthrough Success Show, and I'm looking forward to diving into this because I feel like everyone wants to have a big transformation, and they have the idea of what that is, but they're not really sure how to get there, so we'll be talking about that in this episode. Before we do, though, can you talk a little bit about your background for being a transformational healer and how all of that got started?
Sure. So my background in the world of as a coach, a guide, a teacher, speaker, it's been nearly two decades in the making. And I've had training under various teachings from holistic healing, mind body medicine. I've studied in the ancient mystery schools. I have explored metaphysics as well as the neuroscience of change and people building for personal and professional excellence. And, you know, in my journey of working over these years of just basically has been, you know, really about just applying my passion for helping people through whatever modality was basically what I was interested in next. It just kept like, I was following breadcrumbs.
So. And I mean, it's interesting how these journeys where like we want to go somewhere or you look at someone who's already reached their destination, it is those little breadcrumbs. It is those little steps that sometimes they, you don't really think about them, but they end up being really critical towards your journey. Absolutely. Leading up to that transformation. And I know like a lot of people, again, like we hit on this before, they have this idea of a transformation, but they're not quite sure how to get there. So let's say someone has an idea of what transformation looks like for them. What is our approach to planning so that we have a better shot at that transformation?
Well, the planning is important, isn't it? Because you don't necessarily want to jump into anything without first a strategy. And so that's really what I believe is so critical for anybody who does set off on the journey of change, whether it's change in their relationships or change within themselves or change in their career or health. A plan of action needs to be put into place. And I always tell people the very first place to begin is to really kind of take inventory, which means you got to look at life with, you know, a critical eye, not a judgmental eye, not in terms of, you know, shaming yourself or judging yourself negatively or harshly, but instead being honest with yourself, meaning what is it that you keep repeating in your life that has led you to this place that you're feeling you are in need of that change. You know, if you have a stuck point in life, then there's something that you've been doing probably unconsciously that has led to that condition in your life. So taking inventory is the very first thing. And then once you have that inventory, I call it the puzzle pieces. You know all of these pieces. You know where you've been. You know what you've you've been doing and you know where you want to go, then you can create that strategy for how you want to get there. And essentially, it's a roadmap to your success.
And it is good to look back and be honest with yourself, because that whole self-assessment really makes it easier for you to figure out which pieces connect to form that puzzle. But you need to have the pieces first, and that's certainly what the planning allows you to do. In some cases, the transformation is one of healing, and it's one where like you have to go through healing in order to see the entire transformation through. And I feel like some people, they're not open to healing. They're not open to a vulnerable experience. So I'm wondering how we could get more open to those parts of the journey as we head towards the transformation.
That's such a great question, Mark, because it is so true. And it's so important to want to change, be open to change. You know, when people are in that place of realizing that they are, you know, perhaps the source and cause of their suffering, you know, the problems that we have, and we're also the source of the solutions, that initially feels like a burden to people. It can feel overwhelming, because when you go through the different stages of transformation, and I'll talk about, there's four stages that that people move through. That when we are closed off, when we initially kind of start on that journey, there's actually an ancient term. It says it's difficult in the beginning. And so because people bump into their most difficult challenges when they set off on the endeavor to change, if they don't have a plan of action, especially around, well, what's the plan to help me overcome that challenge, then what's going to happen is they're going to fall back to their old habits and behaviors, which is essentially, in my experience, and this is, you know, something that I've come to realize over the years, it's just an addiction to being ourself. We have an addiction to being skeptical. We have an addiction to being shut down. And so that whole like beginning stage, the beginning difficulty in the beginning, as I referred to, is inevitable for everybody. Nobody is going to just say, oh yeah, I'm going to change, and then like step off on that path and have sunny skies and clear roads. And so with that said, I believe that the key, back to your original point and the question that you wanted clarification on, you know, how do we help people overcome that that place of being closed off or afraid of change, feeling vulnerable in the transformation, is to perhaps, one, let them know that everybody goes through that. So all of these great people that you admire, if you were to write down a list of the most incredible people to you, like who do you see as models? And really, like, it can be anyone. There's no judgment here. I mean, whether it's the Dalai Lama or Jesus, or it's Warren... what's his name? Buffett. Right? It's okay, because that's your personal choice. No one's going to take your choice, that choice away from you. So anyway, when you have these examples of people that you want to perhaps, I don't know, aspire to be similar to, you don't have to be identical, but like, you know, grow in that direction, then, you know, recognize that they too had difficulty in the beginning, because it's all of us. Every single one of us, and it's okay. And then the other thing too is to recognize that you're not in it alone. And for people to think that they're, you know, I'll tell you what came to me. And there's this funny story. I have my son, he is 23. When he was 3 years old, I remember I had this board, and I would teach him the alphabet on this board. And I had, you know, of course, I'm doing the best that I can. I was a young mom, and it wasn't like it was I wasn't trained to be that a teacher to 3-year-olds at the time, although I did train teaching on teaching later. But anyway, my point is that I was teaching the alphabet, and I remember he had this breakdown moment, and he was like, I just can't do it. I'm not good at this. I don't know my alphabet. And I had this like compassionate moment for him, and I thought, oh, Owen, you're only three. You'll learn this. You will develop the skill to be able to identify your alphabet. But everybody has to learn somewhere, and it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to not be good when you first start. So I think maybe the answer is to help people open their hearts to the journey, is to acknowledge that nobody's great when they begin the journey.
Yeah, that's a really important insight. I mean, anyone who is really good, I mean, like people like my interview style and Breakthrough Success, but if you go back to episode one, I don't really sound that good compared to that time now, because, you know, 300 episodes later, virtual summits, you get better interviews as you do them more often. This is true with anything in life. Exactly. And I think one of the keys to like how the transformation happens is, yes, you got to do it. You got to start, but at some point you got to build momentum. You got to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how we can build, but also keep the momentum, because too many people I see, like, especially with weight, they'll lose the weight and then they'll gain it back. So how do we build and then keep momentum?
Oh, that's a great question. I think first to build the momentum is to recognize the key to how we learn. And how we form habits. There is, neural pathways that are being formed. And we have to recognize that our old patterns are embedded pathways, that energy flows freely down. And it's just, you know, it's very difficult to stop the energy from flowing, which is, you know, your old habit of being is the energy I'm referring to here. It's difficult to just, you know, stop that free flow of energy. It's kind of like rushing water, you know, down a river. We have to first kind of, you know, dam it up, if you would, but also to create new pathways. They say that it takes between 27 and 30 days to actually create a new habit. So that kind of like whatever it is that you're wanting to do, like for example, lose weight, which means you maybe need to change your eating habits. You maybe need to change your, believe it or not, sleeping habits. You may need to change your movements and all that. We all kind of are aware physical body responds to those things. But every single day, if you could just do a little bit to get into that habit, even if it's not necessarily the profound thing that you're doing, like for example, if you need to, say, cut back on soda, for example, if you can do little increments, but knowing that you're constantly moving in that direction, and then what's going to happen is you'll develop new neural pathways that say to your body from your actions, because you're forming them in your brain and in your energy body, this is what I want. You know, the more and more and more you take those little teeny actions in the direction of your desires, that's takes about 30 days. And then the science says that it takes about 66 days to have that kind of make strong, solid connections in your, whatever wires together, fires together. So meaning your pathways in your brain. If there's wiring, there's firing. And firing is all of the energy, the focus, the commitment, all of that that might seem hard at first will become your new normal over time. And so that would be, I guess, understanding the science behind creating habits is probably where I think would help me anyway. I know that it helps others, so...
Yeah, I mean, habits are certainly very important. It's good to, and you have habits, whether you know it or not. So it's definitely good to look at them. One thing I do want to double down on is Shauna mentioned the incremental. And I feel like that's really important, really, because in business, I feel like there are a lot of people who they read a case study like, hey, this person's making six or seven figures. And all of a sudden people set the goal to go from zero to six figures. And there are books that, you know, they have the catchy title, like zero to six figures or seven figures in a year or something like that. But people need to set incremental goals. So if you're making, like, let's say $3,000 a month right now, set $4,000 per month as your next goal instead of I want to be a millionaire. So you can become a millionaire and achieve that kind of transformation, but you have to do it in increments.
You know, I really appreciate that, because I was someone who fell for those catchy titles. And I remember my early days of developing myself personally, as well as in business, I would feel self-defeated. I would self-sabotage and think, oh, I'm not good enough because I didn't do what everybody else is doing. And I had that comparison syndrome. And so I think that when we acknowledge those little increments are actually building up, it's like a reservoir, and eventually there'll be a tipping point. And so the momentum from that tipping point, I believe, will come from those small steps.
Yeah, it's just small incremental steps, and then all of a sudden you'll look and you'll realize you hit your goal. It's like transformations. It's not like one day you wake up. So we talked about this earlier. Like, you don't wake up and it happens. It's something where, like, you're looking at, wait.
Yeah.
And then you look back and you see all the work you did, but
it
feels very gradual in reality.
It does. You know what I've learned to do too, because another way to anchor in positive feelings about what you're doing and about those little increments is actually celebrate them. So if you do, for example, cut back on soda for the day, then literally celebrate, acknowledge, you know, what you're grateful for, and say to yourself, say, so your body is listening, your mind is listening, your life is listening to what you say to yourself, and however you celebrate is up to you. You know, I had a friend who would, like, go get her nails done. But, you know, for me, I actually love the, like, I'll self high five, I'll do a dance, whatever it is that I see, I acknowledge it, because I believe that gratitude, and that's in the gratitude. I celebrate and I'm grateful, right? That's the energy of gratefulness. I think that gratitude is the secret spice of life that gives our life that kind of essence that everyone aspires for.
Yeah, gratitude, I feel like, is something very underrated. Something that, whether it's a gratitude journal or something like that, you should pause to be grateful every single day. And I think that's a great habit, gratitude. And I know you mentioned habits earlier, and I meant to get into this, but I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the habits you've developed that you would say are essential for your success.
So I actually, one of my biggest challenge is commitment. And there's a bigger kind of story behind this, but, you know, when someone's not committed, they do whatever it is they're supposed to do, it's done half-heartedly. And when you have a half-hearted approach, you end up with results. Yeah. So, you know, the results that aren't complete, it's not as fulfilling as whatever's you're in your potential. So for in terms of, like, habits that I have created, what's funny is I had to first get into the habit of learning how to have commitment for the result that I want. And to do that, I actually created these little cards. I have it, like, hanging on my wall, so I'm, like, looking at it. And so what I do is every day, and I have on the top, it's like, and it printed out, and it says, I am so grateful now that I have. And what I did was, what I still do, and it changes up regularly, I'll write what I'm grateful for having in my life, including what I'm working on, what I'm committed to, the success that I aspire for, as if that thing that might seem like it's not in my life right now, that like whatever that great aspiration is, I'm grateful for it in my life in this present moment, because I do believe that when we acknowledge it's within the realm of possibility, then we have to, on some like weird dimensional space, it exists. If it didn't exist in some other dimension, it wouldn't be in my consciousness for me to think of. That's another like weird way to look at it. But that's what I do, is I kind of pull it into my present thoughts by being grateful for it. And here's my also other habit. When I'm reading my gratitude sheet, I touch the words, because you want to incorporate senses. And that touch just adds another element, which helps to imprint memory. And then one more thing that I do is I feel the feelings or the elevated emotion behind the joy of having that outcome. And so by incorporating all of those different senses, I also envision it as well. And so it's my secret way, and I even teach this to people, it's the secret way of actually staying committed, number one, staying focused on the tasks that are your priorities, and then also activating what's known as the reticular activating system. It's the part of your brain that is conditioned to see what you're teaching it, what you want it to see, what you're programming yourself to see. Now, all of a sudden, I'm seeing opportunities in my day-to-day life, so that these opportunities align with what I'm envisioning, what I'm imprinting in myself, what I'm reminding myself to be committed to. Does that make sense?
I mean, I like that. You're putting different things in front of you that invoke the kind of response, the ideal response you want to have. So if you want to, it's similar to looking at a vision board, where you have a bunch of these different ideas and these pictures up, and they give you that motivation, or they give you the idea of what you can become. So I really like the idea of spreading out all these reminders and getting really deep into it. So those are certainly some really great habits. One question that I do want to ask you, though, is that I have asked you a bunch of questions. So I'm wondering if you could share with us one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often.
I firmly believe that when we are in a place of fear, in a place of worry or doubt or confusion, that our thoughts are confused. And so what I like to ask whenever that question or whenever that arises, the question I ask myself is this true? Is this really true? Because what's likely the case, and this is what we learn in conversational intelligence with the neuroscience of fear, when we get hijacked by fear, we activate our old past memories. It's stored in we activate the amygdala. Our amygdala gets hijacked, if you would. And when we're hijacked by fear, the science shows it shuts down certain parts of your brain that help you see solutions. And so it puts you into this freezing pattern. It's like you are a prisoner of that. And that in that moment, there's a word. What's the word? When you're a prisoner and you're hijacked, it's like there's another word for it. But anyway, it's basically not true. Likely to be not true, that whatever you're thinking, which is causing you fear. And so questioning the thoughts, is this true, is critical. Always question your thoughts when you are in a state of fear, and then you'll find yourself like redirecting your thoughts into what I call a better feeling thought, a more truth-based thought.
Shauna, thank you for sharing with us that question, that insight, because obviously when we are in a state of fear or anxiety, our thoughts do change a lot. So I appreciate that. For people who want to learn more about Shauna and follow her on her journey, she has a free gift for us, Envisioneering Excellence, which we could all get at iaspiretoexcel.com. That link will be in the show notes, markdebrady.com/e346. Shauna, are there any other places where we could find you in addition to that?
If people want to connect with me, they can just find me on my website, shaunapelting.com, and they'll be able to access my free tools and all the other things that I share with them there. Of course, Facebook and other social media sites if people are interested. And actually, I do have I give gifts to everybody who's in my community of Enlightened Alliances. I do weekly free meditations. That's another habit I created. And that is to help people stay focused as well. So they can access those free weekly meditations if they sign up for the Envisioneering Excellence that you shared.
Shauna, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Mark, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much.